I've always been the type to go all in. When I get into something, whether it's fitness, food, or just following every twist and turn of the season, I want to explore every angle. That's why Prime is such a game changer. It's not just fast delivery, though getting a new cookbook or resistance bands the next day definitely helps. It's also the deep dives on Prime Video, the playlists that match my mood on Amazon Music, and the way all of it comes together to keep me going. What I've learnt is this: Prime isn't just a service, it's a hub, a place where my interests, old and new, can live and grow. From race day rituals to everyday obsessions, Prime helps me get more out of whatever I'm into, and even shows me what's next. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever you're into. amazon.com/prime.
2025 marks the 60th anniversary of the first Honda Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix. More than half a century later, the drive and innovation that powers Honda racing still inspires everything Honda does, from F1 victories to the Civic Hybrid being named the 2025 North American Car of the Year. Honda Racing is leading the charge when it comes to innovation. And here's where it gets really cool. Every Honda-powered F1 car is packed with sensors, hundreds of them, all feeding live data straight back to the Honda Racing team in Sakura, Japan. We're talking about real-time analysis that helps engineers squeeze out every ounce of performance on the track. And the amazing part? That same cutting-edge thinking is making its way into the cars we drive every day, thanks to the expertise of Honda Racing engineers. Their work has led to advances like the hybrid technology now used in Honda's consumer vehicles. The 2025 Civic Sedan Hybrid is engineered for fun, from the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Civic and the latest Honda innovations at honda.com. In Austria, Formula One boiled over.
Verstappen and Norris fighting lap after lap. Oh, they make contact. He's got a puncture. He's damaged his front wing. The leading contenders for the World Championship come together at turn three. The crowd can't believe it.
Verstappen and Norris's fight for the lead ended in a storm of shredded rubber. George Russell drove through it to take an astonishing win.
It's not over until it's over.
Welcome to the paddock at the Red Bull Ring. I'm Tom Clarkson and my F1 Nation teammates for our review of a scintillating Austrian Grand Prix are Davide Valsecchi, GP2 champion, commentator and presenter. And of course, we've got our very own Natalie Pinkham.
Guten Tag.
We're going to be joined as well by Brazilian journalist Juliane Serrasoli. But first of all, immediate reaction after the race. Let's go to the racing driver first.
Ciao Tom, ciao Natalie. Amazing afternoon. I really enjoyed it. Was already good the first few laps of the sprint race yesterday. I loved it. That launch from very far away, from Norris to Verstappen, was mega and was a champion move. And then the reaction of Verstappen into that break and turn four and downhill was the reaction of the 3 times world champions. And I really loved it. I think Norris was too hard. To himself, he covered the line. He said that he didn't cover enough, but that corner is impossible to approach it completely on the white line if you want to defend a position. Anyway, the move from Verstappen was perfect. Today, I really enjoyed the race, and I know that maybe the drivers went a bit over the limit. They were not really fair 100%, but they showed that the build-up was mega. Everyone in the paddock hoped to be able to drive like that too today, and yes, ended up in an incident, and no one of the two won the race. But believe me, I really enjoyed it and I loved it.
I think the incident was always going to happen at some point. Pinks, you've spoken to all the main protagonists for Sky after the race. What was the take? What were they saying?
I mean, it was interesting, wasn't it? Because it was that slow pit stop from Red Bull that ultimately brought Lando back into the race, and then we saw, hello, here we've got a race on our hands. This is exciting. As you say, it almost seemed inevitable that they were going to trip over one another. At lap 64, it happens, and it was kind of shocking at the same time as being predictable. And as you say, a wide-eyed George Russell steaming through to take only his second Grand Prix win of his career. Toto Wolff got so excited, he talked to me under braking. He said it's the most embarrassing moment of his career because he got so excited. George said he nearly crashed the car as a result. But look, ultimately, it was a fabulous result for Mercedes. Their first win in 33 races, 37 points, crucial points for them in the championship. So, yeah, it was a thriller.
What a race was it? So I was there in the media center and we tried to write the stories because the stories, they need to be done just after the race ends. So I had it all written and I was like, okay, this is going to change. How is it going to change? So I started to write again and I started to write again. I think I wrote, I don't know, 10 finishes for that race.
You're like Ferrari down to plan G.
Yeah, so sometimes it's a quicker way and today it wasn't. Today it was just like writing and rewriting. And that's the kind of race that we want. We don't want to have the story ready before it's over.
Well, look, we will talk about our race winner, George Russell, in more detail in a minute. But let's start by hearing from the two whose fight for the win ended in dramatic fashion, Lando Norris and Max Verstappen.
Yeah, it's of course unfortunate. It's stuff that you don't want to see happening. It's as simple as that. Of course, I will look back at it because, I mean, of course, at the moment, it's easy to say stuff. I think it's better to just look back at the footage of what exactly went wrong, because it was a bit of a, I would say, an awkward angle that we touched. Something that, yeah, is very weird, and also for both of us to get a puncture with it was, yeah, really, really bad. But we also did so many things wrong throughout the race that we put ourselves, you know, in a position like that. So those are also things that we have to look at to improve.
I think both of you guys were saying throughout the race that you felt both of you weren't doing the right thing. I know you're good friends. Is the kind of thing you'll go away and talk about going forward?
Yeah, of course we'll talk about it. At the moment, I think it's not the right point. It's better to just let things cool off, I think, ideally. But besides that, I'm more annoyed also with just how the performance of the races and the mistakes that we made that normally we don't make.
Hey, Lando, just talk me through how you're feeling after a Grand Prix where you had incredible pace. You should have really won that race, and obviously it just didn't happen with contact with Max.
Yeah, I thought it was a good race until then. Clearly a little bit on the back foot in terms of overall pace comparing to Max. You know, the first and second stint, he would always just edge away that little bit. But they just seemed to make a lot more mistakes than what we did. You know, they messed up their pit stop, which is rare from them, but clearly a bit of pressure from their side, and they started to slip up a little bit. But I felt like I drove a good race, you know. I kept myself in the fight the whole time. It was very difficult on track to make mistakes, or difficult to drive because of the wind and conditions and things like that. But, just feel let down, you know. A lot of damage on the car. The car's completely destroyed now, so...
A little bit exposed in some type of performance, I think, but...
Yeah, a shame, I don't know. You want to keep driving, and...
Yeah, we're still...
If I go back to the pits in a better way, I could have probably gone out and got some points, but the car was too badly broken, so... I don't know what I'm going to say. I did all I could. I gave a fair, respectful, you know, on-the-edge battle, but that's not what I got in return.
Obviously, you and Max have always been good friends, or you've long been good friends. Is it the kind of thing that you want to go and chat about? Because obviously,
it's not for me to say, it's for him to say something. I did nothing wrong. He was the one in the wrong. So he's the one that should say something, not me.
Now, I'm really interested to see how this plays out, because there's only a few days until we go racing again. They're good mates, but they need to have a chat about this. And Lando said in the pen, if he owns up to it, if he owns the moment, said it was his fault, then ultimately I will regain some of the respect I lost for him today on the track. I mean, they're strong words, aren't they? I'd love to be a fly on the wall when they do have that chat. I think ultimately when emotions calm down and the dust settles, Max will hopefully own the moment. It's interesting because I was chatting with my esteemed colleague, Naomi Schiff, on air on Sky earlier. And she was saying, look, you know, ultimately, we've said that Max has ironed out these immaturities from his racing. He's no longer going for moves that aren't there. He's no longer taking risky moments in a race. Today proved slightly differently. I mean, I don't know if it's just adrenaline searing through their veins and they've got racing in their DNA. I mean, Davide, you tell me as a racing driver, does that ever ultimately get ironed out of your racecraft?
Yeah, to be honest, I'm hoping that... is never going to change Verstappen. I mean, everyone in the paddock knows that if you want to overtake Verstappen, you need to be extreme. And your move has to be the move of your career. If not, you cannot do it, overtake. We know the aggressivity and how hard is Verstappen to respond to the attack. And I think that is the key point of his strength. He's a champion now, but today proved that sometimes in the track, he's almost unbeatable. In his mind, he's always unbeatable. When he's leading the race, he's ended up that we are both out or I'm winning. And I love this attitude. I know that for someone can be too extreme, but everyone in the paddock knows and respect this fact. If we want to beat him, we have to be extreme. If no, we are going to end it up in the world.
Look, I think that's great. And as a viewer, it's thrilling to watch, but it's not fair on Lando. And actually, you know, ultimately he's out of the race. And Max got a 10-second penalty that didn't impact
It was too much.
Too much? It didn't impact his race at all?
No, it was not too much. It was the manoeuvre, the defence of Verstappen was too much. They were over the limit. He got penalised for that.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
But ultimately, it didn't change his position at all in the race. He tumbled down the order to fifth because of the damage. But Lando's out of the race altogether.
Can we just get the racing driver perspective? What did Max do wrong in your eyes?
Probably was a bit over the limit. So sometimes he's not able to accept that someone is beating him. And he was extreme in the defense. Sometimes he moved a bit at the end of the breaking points. But believe me, in that area it's not easy because it's not completely straight. You can watch your rival just at the end of that break, because if no, from the mirror you cannot see him because he's cornering a bit the corner. So he was watching in at the end of the break. He saw that Norris was launching from miles away and he just moved a bit the line. I heard Norris was complaining about it. For me, it was fine. And also for FIA, it was fine. But then in the last try of Norris, seems that he moved a bit too much on the outside and happened the contact. For sure, that was a mistake. And seems that from his word, just after the race, he realized it. Usually in the past, he's been very aggressive to say, no, FIA was wrong, my maneuver was fine. He didn't say anything. Probably in the next few days, he's going to say sorry to Norris. But what I loved from this driver is that is a different type of Formula One, and it's 3 years that I'm missing this feeling that these guys that were bringing the level today, so high standard, so high level, and they were able to risk it all in the track. I think we are missing it from Verstappen against Hamilton, this type of feeling. Oh no, it's 3 years that we're missing that someone is able to challenge Max Verstappen on the overtakes and on this maneuver. And I'm happy to say that probably Norris today matched this level, a championship level. That's my feeling.
I mean, you're absolutely right. And I think this is the first of many. You know, we're going to see these kind of battles now, hopefully for the rest of the season. Hopefully with both of them seeing the checkered flag, though.
Guys, I felt there was an inevitability about today. I thought we saw round one in Spain last week when Norris pushed him onto the grass going down to turn one.
You liked it or no? Because I loved it. I said, look at him! Look at him! They were complaining about Norris in Italy that was too soft last year against Verstappen. Because he had not the car to race Verstappen. This year that he's able to win races, did you see how he changed? It's becoming the champions that we want to have.
And wasn't it the same in 21 as well? We could almost see it coming. It was like getting worse and worse and worse between him and Hamilton until
they would think better and better and better.
Yeah, I mean, worse in terms of them being more aggressive to each other until it started to get like super aggressive.
Right, so we all agree it was inevitable. I would say this, though, that the move around the outside at turn three was never going to work. We've seen it in 2016. It's so easy to be pushed wide if you go around the outside. I feel it was a strategic error of Lando.
Probably, but we need to consider also that he was a bit desperate at the time. I mean, he tried three times on Verstappen. Verstappen saved himself at the end, and then he was already having more difficult to catch Verstappen back, and then at least at the end when he was so close, he said, I tried already three times on the inside, didn't work out, let me try on the outside. I mean,
didn't work out.
Didn't work out, yeah, okay. But he was close to do it. I mean, yeah, probably in that break, he was thinking to be able to break a bit more and then crossing the line and then having the DRS and the speed on the inside to attack and turn four. That was the idea. But against Verstappen and sometimes in the overtake, you imagine something and then you're not able to do it. I mean, it was a bit unlucky. Also, Verstappen moved, but not so much. They were unlucky, the touch was by 5 or 6 centimeters. For sure, he didn't do it voluntarily to throw away the race. But the idea of the driver that is in front is to open the line so much to give you problem, to give you trouble, to shoulder to shoulder, to push you wide a bit and to be to don't be attacked to the next corner. Is that the idea to the driver obviously is defending?
Davide was making earlier a very good point about this track. There's always problems in this track because of the camber of the corners. We've seen here with Albon and Hamilton in the past, there's always trouble here. So I think part of the reason is, okay, Verstappen is aggressive. Lando this time, he didn't respect Verstappen the way he did probably in a few races ago. Many times I hear the fans saying, oh, he respects Max too much, he needs to attack Max. And that happened today. He really didn't respect him as much as he usually does. And that's the track as well. This track is a bit tricky.
I have a question, Tom. Because you said maybe strategically that maneuver was not perfect from Norris. But do you think that Norris is not racing so well in the last few races? Or do you think that his level now is a championship level?
Well, he's left something on the table, you'd have to say. He's missed opportunities.
Please.
There have been missed opportunities. And Lando is his harshest critic. I think what he was saying... After Spain, he said he drove that perfect qualifying lap on Saturday and that he should have won the race on Sunday. So I think he will, in the cold light of day, when he wakes up tomorrow, I think he will think, this is a race I should have won. And I think he should have been maybe more patient. But he will learn. Lando's an intelligent guy. Do you know, I in a way feel that this had to happen because I feel Max now knows that he is not going to back down.
Interesting, because the same happened in 2019 with Charles Leclerc. It was like a coming of age for the Monegasque driver. He went, I've got to get my elbows out if I'm going to take Max Verstappen on. And it was at this very track.
Yeah. And as a result, we've seen some great battles between the two of them. And I think that is what is going to happen now between Norris and Verstappen. I would like sometimes for Verstappen to accept second place, or at least accept being overtaken.
It's just not in his DNA.
Yeah, never going to happen.
Do you think it'll never happen?
I don't know. Now he's 3-time world champion, he's for sure more calm. But when the battle raises up so much, he's every time ready to overtook the limit of the sport, of the fairness, to defend his position. I love that. I'm sorry, but I love that. I mean, seems like Michael Schumacher that was every time close to the limit and sometimes over to defend the victory and the position. I mean, is the fact of this Formula One, we have a type of driver like this. I love it.
Davide, I could both listen and talk to you all night, but I have to go.
Thanks, travel safe.
Thank you very much.
Much love. Ciao, Natalie.
2025 marks the 60th anniversary of the first Honda Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix. More than half a century later, the drive and innovation that powers Honda racing still inspires everything Honda does, from F1 victories to the Civic Hybrid being named the 2025 North American Car of the Year. Honda Racing is leading the charge when it comes to innovation. And here's where it gets really cool. Every Honda-powered F1 car is packed with sensors, hundreds of them, all feeding live data straight back to the Honda Racing team in Sakura, Japan. We're talking about real-time analysis that helps engineers squeeze out every ounce of performance on the track. And the amazing part? That same cutting-edge thinking is making its way into the cars we drive every day, thanks to the expertise of Honda Racing engineers. Their work has led to advances like the hybrid technology now used in Honda's consumer vehicles. The 2025 Civic Sedan Hybrid is engineered for fun, from the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Civic and the latest Honda innovations at honda.com. 2025 marks the 60th anniversary of the first Honda Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix. More than half a century later, the drive and innovation that powers Honda Racing still inspires everything Honda does, from F1 victories to the Civic Hybrid being named the 2025 North American Car of the Year. Honda Racing is leading the charge when it comes to innovation. And here's where it gets really cool. Every Honda-powered F1 car is packed with sensors, hundreds of them, all feeding live data straight back to the Honda Racing team in Sakura, Japan. We're talking about real-time analysis that helps engineers squeeze out every ounce of performance on the track. And the amazing part? That same cutting-edge thinking is making its way into the cars we drive every day, thanks to the expertise of Honda Racing engineers. Their work has led to advances like the hybrid technology now used in Honda's consumer vehicles. The 2025 Civic Sedan Hybrid is engineered for fun, from the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Civic and the latest Honda innovations at Honda.com.
Verstappen and Norris come together chasing the lead. These two friends turned rivals, turned into each other at turn number three.
Davide, will this affect their relationship?
I hope no. They are good mates. They travel together with the private jet. They play together sometimes on esports games. I mean, yeah, I think that in 2 or 3 days, Verstappen is going to ask sorry and to say sorry to Norris.
There is Lando, just walking past us now. I don't think he looks... He's disappointed, but I feel... What I was saying earlier, I think he feels he's put a marker in the sand.
I agree with you. He's feeling that he's coming his time. And sometimes it's like this, no? There was Lewis Hamilton dominating. Then there was the battle between Hamilton and Vettel, did you remember? And it seems that every time they were battling together, Hamilton was winning the battle. And now there was the time of Verstappen. Everyone was against Verstappen. Verstappen was winning the battle. But now it seems that, I don't know, I think that it's changing. There is someone and some team like McLaren and they are working very well because yesterday in the sprint race, they were suffering the last few laps. Did you remember? So Verstappen held on the position 3 or 4 laps and then he opened the gap. McLaren knew it. And today they were different. They were the strongest in the last part of the race. They save the new tires for the last stint. And seems that the condition was different. And Verstappen was under threat by Lando Norris and by his team McLaren. So I think that maybe is going to create a different story from now on the rest of the season and from the next years. We'll see.
Max said something interesting, I don't know if you agree with, but he said, me and Lando, we never battled in the lower categories, so he doesn't know how I race. So he's learning to race with me now. So these things may happen now until, he said, we're going to talk about it and all that, but he didn't have the experience that Charles Leclerc had in the lower categories. It was just an incident, yeah. the famous one. But I don't know what you think about that, if he's got a good point or not.
I think he's got a good point. I think Lando's probably watched enough of his battles on TV to know what to expect. But you know what? Can we just take one step away from the incident that took place today? And actually, as significant for me, was this is the first time in a long time that Red Bull have actually dropped the ball. They were perfect in qualifying. They were perfect in the sprint. Yet, he was complaining about his gears. He was complaining about his tyres. Of course, they had that slow pit stop that allowed the 10-second gap to get shrunk down to 1.7 seconds. That ultimately led to them having this battle. And this is the first time that Red Bull have dropped the ball.
Yet the little mistake where he locked up after the pit stop.
Exactly.
In the brake downhill in turn four. So, yeah, they were under pressure. And I'm with you. Sometimes this year they were beaten. Okay, Monte Carlo was a strange race. Then they were beaten in Australia, caused the technical failure. But in the last few races, in some part of the race, we had the feeling that there was someone better than Red Bull and Verstappen. And we need to consider also that in this weekend, Verstappen pull out an extreme performance against his teammate. He was every time 7-8 tenths in front of Perez. It's not going to happen every single racetrack, that gap and that margin. I mean, I think that Verstappen is driving at his best in this in the last few races, but there is someone that is racing him on race pace, and that someone is Lando Norris with McLaren. I mean, they need to improve a little bit. From my point of view, the managing of the race engineer could be a bit better now. But I'm with the driver and always saying that the driver is right and the team is wrong. So that's the mentality of the driver. They has to raise up the level of his engineer, calm, using the calm and the patience to calm down the driver. And then the next one, they are not good enough at the start. Did you saw Tom the start? In the last few starts, every time Verstappen is gaining 2 meters. So from my point of view, the starting system of McLaren they are using is not good enough. Maybe it's the driver reaction, maybe I don't know. But it's a fact that Verstappen always gained 2 meters in the start. And then third sink, pit stop. In the last, now I don't know the result of this race. For the first time, maybe McLaren was quicker than Red Bull, but in Barcelona, Red Bull, he had the quickest first 2 pit stop, 2 seconds, 1:98, and that was impressive. So, I mean, the team is built up for winning, and with Verstappen, they win every race. Today was not the case.
Yeah, with the pit stops, McLaren in the same lap, they did a 2.3 and a 2.1 pit stop, so it was really good.
A second, yeah,
yeah, in this race.
Well done, it's but, the way.
Yeah, so it was a completely different story from last weekend. So last weekend, McLaren, in terms of performance, was a little bit ahead of Red Bull, but Red Bull, in operational terms, won the race. And this time, Red Bull, in terms of performance, they were way better than McLaren for most of the race. And then Red Bull just left the door open bit by bit. So the first pit stop for Verstappen was a bit slow as well. It wasn't one of those 2.1 or 1.9 that Red Bull usually does. And then I think, and Max thinks, that it took them too many laps to stop him for the second stop. He was wasting a lot of time with traffic. It was hard for him with the hard tires. Another mistake, saving 2 sets of hards and not saving 2 sets of mediums like everybody else. So it's just little mistakes. And then he comes out of the pits, slow pit stop, he gets a bit under pressure, he makes a mistake that we don't usually see from Max, and then it all builds up in little operational mistakes leading to what we're seeing in the next laps.
What do we have to expect in Silverstone? A McLaren strong like this, a McLaren even stronger, someone closer to Verstappen in quali, that is the key. If Verstappen is not starting first, it will be not so easy to lead the race for 750 laps for him.
Well, I think Silverstone with its fast corners will suit the Red Bull. But let's not come onto Silverstone just yet. Let's finish by just saying that Verstappen still leads the championship, all right? He's got 81 points over Norris now, so he's sitting pretty at the top there. And it is still, I feel, what are we? We're at the halfway point in this championship now. You know, Verstappen is still in the pound seat, isn't he? So Lando needs points at every race. So every race he doesn't score is really hurting his championship challenge. But on the topic of Lando Norris, he is my guest on Beyond the Grid this week. I recorded it before the race, but he gave incredible insight into how he's approaching racing Max this season. So that's out on Wednesday. But now, guys, let's bring it back to the race. The race winner. We haven't yet really discussed George Russell. Okay, he was there to pick up the pieces and take an extraordinary victory.
For just the second time in Formula One, the British driver will see the flag first, and George Russell wins an amazing Austrian Grand Prix. He beats Oscar Piastri home by 1.9 seconds. Carlos Sainz is back on the podium for the first time since Monaco. Mercedes win a Grand Prix for the first time since 2022.
It feels really great, to be honest. These last three races as a team, we've really turned it up. I feel that Montreal was probably a victory that we missed out on, and we ended up finishing P3. Today was a deserving P3, and we got the victory. So it's funny how this sport turns around, and just credit to all the team for all the hard work they've done, such huge progress since the start of the year.
This is also a racetrack that brings out the best in you. You're the first driver to win here in GP3, Formula 2 and now Formula 1.
Yeah, it's a track I enjoy. The last couple of years have been very difficult for us as a team, and we didn't have high expectations going into this weekend, but you know, we ended up qualifying P3 yesterday, and we've been in that mix, and as I said, we were fighting for the podium. I think realistically we still probably have, you know, the third quickest car behind Red Bull and McLaren, but the last three races, you know, Lewis and I have been in that P3 spot, so you know, we're really getting the most out of it, and sometimes racing, it goes your way.
And what a result to take into your home race at Silverstone next weekend. Do you dare to dream about a repeat on home soil?
You always dare to dream, for sure. Anything can happen. I think Red Bull were really quick this weekend in the high-speed corners, so they're going to look pretty strong next week in Silverstone. But we've got a few days between now and then. I'll be on the simulator on Tuesday back at the factory. So, yeah, really excited for that one.
Give us your thoughts on George.
Perfect weekend. Perfect weekend. And he's underrated. Yeah, the consideration
still,
that they're...
Still, the way he's out-qualified Hamilton this year. The two wins that Mercedes have taken in this regulation since 22, both George.
It's my personal feeling that in the paddock, this man is underrated. And from my personal thought... if there is someone that is able to challenge Lewis Hamilton in a Formula One car, it means that he's going to be a champion. That is my feeling. So, no way. Sometimes this year he had some mistake. Maybe in Canada he was too aggressive and he cut the chicane three times and maybe could win that race. But if there is someone in Formula One that challenge Hamilton and stay close to him and is able to beat him, for me, he's going to become a champion.
I completely agree with you, which is why I say I don't think he's underrated. I think people know how good George Russell is.
I hope, because today was an outstanding performance all weekend long. Wait, did you remember the fight in the first few laps with Hamilton?
The party starts now. George Russell just walking past us. He's clutching a bottle of champagne. He's flying back with Fernando Alonso to Monaco this evening. And I think he said if the party he has tonight is only 50% as good as the party that Lando Norris had after his win in Miami, it'll still be an incredible party.
But it's the wrong place. Wrong place to win for a party.
Anyway, it was perfect in the sprint qualify. While I think Hamilton had the little mistake in turn three. He was very good in the sprint race, defending and regaining the position to Sainz. And then he was perfect in the quali, staying less than 1/10 in front of Hamilton, the legend. And then today, he battled Hamilton in the first few laps, gaining the little battle with him, and he gained and secured the victory with that. Then he got lucky, I know. But you have to be in that position to win the race. And he was there. He was there. So if there is a man that probably deserves a car to fight with Lando Norris and Verstappen, is George Russell. And I can't wait to see him up there.
I think it's all facts, what David was saying. But I do feel that Mercedes feels that George, sometimes he changes a little bit and he gets a bit over-aggressive, or he starts making mistakes when he feels he's got a chance to win. And that has happened before. It has happened in Singapore last year. The team felt like he was trying to control everything inside the team because he felt he had a chance. And this has happened in Canada as well. So there is this small concern at Mercedes about how he... He's saying I'm underrating him. Oh, no, that there is this
hand
concern.
Hand gestures from Valsecchi.
There is this concern, and that's why Toto got on the radio going, come on, George.
No, I think Toto got on the radio because he just couldn't believe that they were about to win a Grand Prix.
Yeah, by mistake.
Yeah, but then in Canada, he goes like, focus, George. So he feels the need to do that with him. So it's a little bit that he needs to improve. But this weekend, basically, he maximized. Maybe for him, the best scenario is like this. Not having a chance for winning and then just end up winning.
And it is incredible the journey that Mercedes have been on this year. You know, where they were in Bahrain versus where they are now. The new front wing that came to Monaco, and they've just got better and better and better. They've been on the podium for the last three races. They're still missing a tiny bit, but it's close. I could see them winning. They had the third best car here, but I can still see them gaining on the cars in front and winning a race on merit this year.
Toto has said that he thinks that they are 0.2 behind, 0.2 behind. And he said they are bringing updates to every single race for the next few races, just small things. And he said he's never seen, he said the factory is in full steam. I've never seen the factory working like that. He was super excited, Toto, today. And everything that we are bringing to the car adds quality to the car and adds downforce.
That is the significant bit, isn't it? In that for 3 years almost, not everything they brought to the car was improving it. But we're now at a point with Mercedes, a bit like McLaren were when they arrived with the upgrade at this race last year, where what they add to that Mercedes now adds performance. So I think that is really encouraging for the team. A quick word on Lewis Hamilton. Slightly scrappy weekend, actually, by Lewis's standards. He comes home fourth behind Carlos Sainz, having qualified fifth, and he was pretty down after qualifying, I felt. I think he thought it was a slightly scrappy session for him. Have you been surprised by the way that George has got one over Lewis this year, more often than not?
I have too much respect for Lewis Hamilton, so for me he's always a legend. Also after a weekend where it was not perfect at all, to be honest. I think that having Lewis Hamilton leaving the team, in my mind, I immediately thought this winter, George Russell is going to step up. I don't know, I get this feeling. And because in the last season, Hamilton was better than Russell. The previous year, they were challenged side by side. And now, knowing that Hamilton was going away, was changing team, for me, for Russell, he needed to step up, and he did it. So I'm a bit disappointed because I think that Hamilton this weekend didn't have the same speed as Russell, and to try to match his performance, sometimes he overdrives that car. I mean, in the session, in the sprint qualify, he had that mistake, went a break, I think, a bit too deep, and probably lost a bit of traction. He went a bit wide, he lost 3 tenths. I mean, details that didn't make his weekend perfect, and he knew. At the beginning of this race, he knew that taking the position on Russell right at the beginning of the race, it was the guarantee of a good result. He tried and he missed it. Russell in that, he was just a bit better. So I don't know how to judge, but that's the fact.
And Lewis doesn't like this track, does he? He was asked this weekend, oh, how do you like the track and the place here in Austria? And he said, oh, place is beautiful, but the track on my list is too. He did a list pointing down, really down on his list of favorite tracks.
Is that a factor, Davide, if you come as a driver to a racetrack that you don't actually like driving? Does it influence your performance?
Wait, I think it's the fact because last weekend there was Barcelona, no? And Barcelona we saw an amazing performance by Hamilton. And if you look the stats in Barcelona, Hamilton is by far the best one. 6 victories, 6 pole position. When I saw the stat, I said, oh, he's going to crack everyone there. And more or less he did. I mean, he had an amazing race. He beated Russell. He was quicker than him in the race, there was no doubt. He regained on him, he overtook him. So he was the best version of Lewis Hamilton. Here, probably the stats, they are not so good. And I think that Russell was a bit quicker. I don't know how to judge, but the result says that probably, yes, probably.
I feel at this point we should talk about Ferrari. Carlos Sainz coming home in third place from fourth on the grid. Leclerc, of course, having, you know, that incident at turn one with Piastri and Perez, and that made it very difficult for him. And he ultimately finishes just outside the points in 11th. But given the yo-yo of performance we've seen from Ferrari at the last two races, terrible in Montreal, better, but still with work to do in Barcelona, I felt this was a much more solid performance by the Scuderia.
Yeah, but probably me personally, the team, the drivers with Leclerc. And the fans in Italy, a bit disappointed that Mercedes was better than them. Yeah, because it's the fact, Mercedes was better than them. Was quicker in quali, was quicker in the race. Today Russell was never challenged by Carlos Sainz. So from my point of view, this fact is a bit disappointing, because in the beginning of the season, Ferrari was the second best team, and now they are losing the challenge in the fight with McLaren. But seems that Mercedes is stepped up and is there, and sometimes in the last three races always is in front, and is a bit disappointed. And then also one thing, I love the Ferrari drivers also because I'm Italian. Yeah, but this weekend Leclerc was not very lucky. But as a driver, we don't like this word, luck, unlucky.
And what, you make your own luck, is that what you believe?
Yeah, and was not perfect, is the sentence. Was not perfect. Many little mistakes, him, probably his team, probably, you know, his crew, probably the strategy. Little mistakes that brings him out of the point and signs up there on the podium. You know, in the sprint qualifying race, he got this problem to leave in the clutch too early. I don't know. The anti-stall didn't work well.
End of the pit lane.
But he stole the car. That is a little mistake. That the anti-stall didn't work properly. Okay. So technical one, he had the mistake releasing the clutch because he stole the car. And so two little mistake. They waited so much. Probably was a little mistake in the pit lane to be the last one in the track. They had the problem. Didn't have the time in the Q3 sprint qualify. Mistake. And then, start of the race, I love the aggressivity that put and the effort that made. Good overtakes, 7th, didn't have the pace then. Ended up in 7th. Then, quali yesterday. Oh, very disappointed. He was there with Sainz, challenging Sainz, and then Sainz put a very good lap in the Q3. Little mistake in that corner, big mistake down there in the penultimate corner for Leclerc. Yeah, little, but again. And then starting 6th, being in trouble in the first corner because he was by side drivers, I mean. You know, and then was unlucky, he got caught, last.
It was a frustrated drive for the whole weekend. And why is he frustrated? Because Ferrari are not getting any better, so they are bringing upgrades to the car. And it's actually getting worse because bouncing is coming back. We've seen bouncing in Spain. We've seen bouncing here at turns 9 and 10. And of course the drivers are going to get frustrated. And that's what's happening with Ferrari.
And I'm not sure it's going to be any better for them at Silverstone this coming weekend. It's all about fast corners. And fast corners have been their Achilles heel all season so far. So I think it's going to be another performance like this for them at Silverstone. As we're talking, Carlos Sainz Sr., as in Carlos's father, has been pacing up and down in front of us. Who do you think he's ringing? Is it Sauber? Is it Williams? Is it Alpine now? Is it Flavio? Who do you think he's
Mercedes
on the
Mercedes waiting Verstappen. I hope for him a top team. And so I'm hoping for Mercedes that is waiting Verstappen for the future.
A one-year deal.
Give him the chance for 1 year. Is going to take it. I think the driver wants to compete at the maximum level, and Mercedes now has a top car. I think this guy Sainz, that today had a great race and a very good and solid weekend, deserve to be in a very competitive car. So I hope for him the best.
I completely agree. 1 year deal at Mercedes, if it's offered, you've got to take that over the 3 year big bucks that he's been offered, for example, by Sauber and Audi. I think you have to go with performance before anything else.
Yeah, but I heard the rumor, but are you sure that Toto Wolff proposed to Carlos Sainz 1 year deal? Because from my point of view, he didn't. So I hope Toto Wolff is doing it in the next few days.
Yes, I mean, I haven't heard it from Toto's mouth, so I you know, a lot of hearsay in this paddock. But if it's offered to him, please accept it, Carlos Sainz. That's the message from us on F1 Nation.
What I could tell was that he was listening more than talking on that call.
Oh, Carlos Sr.
Yes, Carlos Sr. So we've got that. This is a fact. He was listening more than talking.
I've always been the type to go all in. When I get into something, whether it's fitness, food, or just following every twist and turn of the season, I want to explore every angle. That's why Prime is such a game changer. It's not just fast delivery, though getting a new cookbook or resistance bands the next day definitely helps. It's also the deep dives on Prime Video, the playlists that match my mood on Amazon Music, and the way all of it comes together to keep me going. What I've learnt is this: Prime isn't just a service, it's a hub, a place where my interests, old and new, can live and grow. From race day rituals to everyday obsessions, Prime helps me get more out of whatever I'm into, and even shows me what's next. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever you're into. amazon.com/prime.
2025 marks the 60th anniversary of the first Honda Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix. More than half a century later, the drive and innovation that powers Honda racing still inspires everything Honda does, from F1 victories to the Civic Hybrid being named the 2025 North American Car of the Year. Honda Racing is leading the charge when it comes to innovation. And here's where it gets really cool. Every Honda-powered F1 car is packed with sensors, hundreds of them, all feeding live data straight back to the Honda Racing team in Sakura, Japan. We're talking about real-time analysis that helps engineers squeeze out every ounce of performance on the track. And the amazing part? That same cutting-edge thinking is making its way into the cars we drive every day, thanks to the expertise of Honda Racing engineers. Their work has led to advances like the hybrid technology now used in Honda's consumer vehicles. The 2025 Civic Sedan Hybrid is engineered for fun, from the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Civic and the latest Honda innovations at honda.com.
Now, a few other performances I wanted to touch on. I mean, Perez finished seventh, a long way off his teammate in quali. He's clearly not happy with that car still, and I imagine confidence is rock bottom.
And it's amazing because Red Bull has been a little bit tricky to drive in the last month and a half. And then you can understand if the car is tricky to drive, then Verstappen is so good that he's going to get closer to the maximum of the performance, and then Perez will struggle a bit more. And then the car gets very good from the word go here in the Red Bull ring, and it's still far off. It's the same kind of gap.
It raises the question, we've just talked about the silly season with Carlos Sainz. If Checo doesn't start getting closer to Max, not only are Red Bull going to lose the Constructors' Championship, you know, the gap between Red Bull and Ferrari at the moment is down to 64 points. But not only that, going forward, 2025, I wonder whether Checo, although he's got that new two-year deal, is he actually nailed on for next year if he doesn't raise his performance?
Good question. I don't know. To be honest, he's sure that he has to raise up his performance. I always loved the Checo Perez. I always thought that he's not the best talent in the world, but was an incredible, solid driver before getting Red Bull by side Verstappen. But then, you know, then you challenge the talent, you challenge the top driver in the world, you challenge the new world champion. And I don't know, I think the life becomes more difficult. And the life of the driver, that his teammate of the champions, become like a nightmare. I think that is not delivering. He's for sure able to stay closer to Verstappen and to be solid like he's been in the past few years in Formula One. But today, missing the overtake on Hülkenberg for the sixth position, I mean, I was waiting for something different from Perez. Was the day with the problem of Verstappen to step up. I realized it on the grid. Today has to show something. In the home of Red Bull, he has to shine. And he missed it. So I hope for him to seem brilliant in one of the next races, because I know that he's able to do better. And like, this is not enough. 0.7 per lap, slower than your teammates. Okay, it's not the gap that give you the chance to stay in Formula One for much longer. It's a trouble, but these guys, everyone dreams to arrive there. Top 20 in Formula One. 7 tenths, I'm sorry, is too much. It's the fact. And I'm really sorry for him.
And we've seen what he can do in the beginning of the year. In the beginning of the year, he wasn't far off. So something,
as we saw at the beginning of last year, Jim.
Yes, and something just doesn't click in for him after May or something like that.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned Hülkenberg, Davide, and what a feel-good story Haas is today. Hülkenberg coming home in P6, Magnussen P8. We saw the two of them scrapping on track, keeping it clean. You know, they've now jumped Alpine in the Constructors' Championship back to seventh with 19 points, 10 clear now of Alpine. Just what an incredible day for Haas. And actually, they've always gone well at this track. Why didn't I think of that before we came here?
Yesterday with Magnussen, they were very competitive. Ended up ninth in the sprint, just outside the point. But it was very fast and very good. Same race pace of Perez. And today, with him, but most of it with Hülkenberg. And then, did you hear that at a certain point of the race, Magnussen say something right? Oh, goes to Hülkenberg. He say,
yeah, yeah, I'm
you,
not.
How do you say in English?
Is he managing his? We don't need to say it in English.
But you understand, not yes. People understand
he was
it.
Swearing,
he
swearing, yeah.
Oh, swearing, okay.
Yeah.
It's never true, the story, or it's not always true, the story, that you have to have this feeling, that atmosphere inside the team while teammates work together, while everyone is happy. This team today fight each other all race long for all the distance of the race, but the car was good. The driver went pushing to the limits and they ended up 6th and 8th, saying each other swearing during the race. So, did you realize that the story, we have to create harmony. You have to have a good car with the driver that battle each other to have the result. It's not always true that, the atmosphere. I really enjoyed that race. I thought, and we were thinking, they are going to lose time battling each other. I saw it. 6 and 8, probably was wrong.
You see that Davide, he wants hell between Verstappen and Norris. He wants hell at Haas. He wants just...
I don't want the people to consider that hell. Today was a great Formula One show. Maybe they were a bit over the limit, but we don't have to argue. We just have to enjoy the moment because it was one of my best afternoon today of motorsport. And
100%.
I really loved it. So I hope that in Silverstone we are going to see something similar with probably Verstappen say sorry to Norris and try to fight into the limit. But I would like that everyone is going to love this Formula One because from my point of view today we saw two world-class drivers fighting each other. And maybe they made a mistake like everyone in the grid. But I think that Norris, he reached that level. And I really loved it.
But we also saw battles throughout the field. The two Haas guys we're talking about. The two Alpine drivers went at it as well. Hammer and tongs. Gasly then coming home in 10th place and Ocon back in 12th. But there were the teammates... We're going hard here in Austria, weren't they? Look, but one last driver I wanted to ask you guys about. Daniel Ricciardo. You're punching the air, Davide. He comes home in 9th. He's a man under pressure. Gosh, I mean, talk about pressure. Montreal, pressure from pundits. Jacques Villeneuve, former world champion.
He's my friend.
Yes.
No, he lives not far from where I live. So, yeah, it was very
Villeneuve,
harsh.
Hard on him,
yeah,
right?
But he's always hard.
Daniel delivers. Daniel then delivers, okay?
We and
then
he did it.
Okay, we then go to Barcelona last weekend where they introduced the updates at VCARB. They didn't work. So both him and Yuki had a frustrating weekend there. He then comes here. They revert back to the old spec car. It performs much better, and Daniel delivers again. I feel we're seeing a little bit of the Daniel of old now. And this came on the back of Helmut Marko before the race saying, I think we need to revert back to it being a junior team with young drivers.
I'm worried about one thing, that I'm shy to say it, really, because worries me so much, and I really hope it's not the case. So I'm worried that Ricciardo lost a bit of speed in comparison of his prime, his better moment in his career. But they know for sure that this man knows how to race. This man knows how to battle, to overtake, to defend. and he's a hell of a driver. So I hope he's keep pushing. He's trying to find this feeling that he lost some years ago. And he's going to maintain his place in Formula 1 because he's a so great charter. And I don't think there is so many drivers outside Formula 1 and in the field of Formula 1 that they are better than him. Now tell me please the standings between him and Tsunoda this year, because many times Tsunoda beat him on result this year. And if you want to stay in Formula 1, in Red Bull, most of it, you have to be able to beat the teammates. And Tsunoda surprised me. But no, I'm a fan of Ricciardo, and there's no way for me as to stay.
Well, it's eight points, just to answer your question. Yuki has 8 more points than Daniel.
Because he's being more consistent. The thing with Daniel is that sometimes he shines.
But that was early on. I think my point was that he's finding that consistency now, right?
Yeah, but he goes, has a very good race, and then he has a not very good race. So with Ricciardo, I think we have to wait for a little bit. Because since he came back, remember in Mexico City, he went really well, and everybody said, oh, the Ricciardo of old is back, and then he wasn't back, and then he was back, wasn't back. So let's wait a little bit, I think.
That's a fair point. And just to close up on the Ricciardo thing is that his manager was telling me yesterday that Daniel, has not been given the hurry up by anyone at Red Bull. So that was the response to the comments from Helmut Marko. No, nothing has been said to Daniel, but he doesn't need the hurry up when he's driving like that. One team that has struggled, Aston Martin. They surprise me with just how much they struggled here. You know, Alonso qualifying 15th, Stroll back in 17th. I thought the 3 DRS zones here might help them. They're not good through high-speed corners, so I don't think we should expect too much from them at Silverstone.
I think they were a bit draggy this weekend, maybe a bit the setup and a bit the car that is not really responding well to everything they put on the car. And I spoke with Fernando in Spain, and he was really like, we are not getting better, we're not getting anywhere. We need to speak less and do more. And, well, it didn't. The wake-up call didn't work for the next race.
Yeah, in the last few races also, is missing Alonso. I mean, probably we get used too well last year, but we were having every time Alonso racing in the top 5 position, most of the time on podium in the first half of the season, did you remember? Racing in a so high level, championship level, with a speed that was out of the world for a driver of 42 years old. But now in the last few races, it's not making any difference on the Stroll, to be honest. And today, at that mistake, he missed the brake at that corner. It crushed Joe. Yeah, the Joe jump a bit. I don't know. I think that is in a disappointing moment, Alonso. It's for this reason that he's not performing so well. So he was dreaming to have the same or similar season than last year. So fighting on top, being the champions and the dog that we know him, more or less like Verstappen style in the racing style, be aggressive, be hungry, be fantastic in the race battle. But then he realized that the car was average and he lost it, you know? He was dreaming about something, and then at 43, 42 years old, he realized that I'm only fighting for 11th, and he lost a bit the instinct. That is my feeling.
Yeah, he was outqualified by Stroll, I think 6 times, if we count sprint qualifyings and actual qualifyings. That's not something we would see from Fernando. He was always very proud to say, oh, I beating my teammate. He always knew the score. So I bet if we ask him the score right now, he's going to come up with another answer.
Yeah, probably the car has to step up, I mean. They lost performance, that is clear. In the last few races last year, Alonso was not in the top 3 anymore, but every time he was solid in the point, and then Stroll was able to finish in the point. This year, when they get points, it's a party. I mean, the level changed a lot, that is clear.
So the top 10 looked like this. George Russell took his second Grand Prix victory ahead of Oscar Piastri and Carlos Sainz. In fourth place was Lewis Hamilton, with Max Verstappen coming home fifth after his crash with Norris and subsequent 10-second penalty. In sixth was Nico Hülkenberg, with Perez seventh and the second Haas of Kevin Magnussen in eighth. Daniel Ricciardo was ninth for VCARB, and Pierre Gasly rounded out the top 10 for Alpine. In the Drivers' Championship, Max Verstappen increased his lead over Lando Norris to 81 points, with Leclerc 6 points further back in third. Sainz is fourth, 17 ahead of Perez in fifth, with Piastri only 6 points further back in sixth. Today's race winner, George Russell, is seventh, 26 points ahead of his teammate Lewis Hamilton in eighth. Alonso is ninth, and Yuki Tsunoda stays 10th. In the Constructors' Championship, the battle at the top is hotting up. Red Bull still leads, but the gap to Ferrari in second is down to 64 points, and McLaren in third have closed the gap to Ferrari to just 23 points. Mercedes are fourth, 138 points ahead of Aston Martin in fifth, who have VCARB just 28 points behind them. Haas's double points finish here have jumped them up to 7th on 19 points, Alpine are 8th on 9 points, Williams are 9th on 2, and Sauber have yet to score. Guys, it's been a wonderful debrief. Thank you very much for your time. Can I just end by getting your driver of the day? Lando Norris got it on the telly. Who's going to start? Who was your driver of the day, Davide?
The underrated George Russell. Yeah, no, George
the
Russell.
Not so underrated George
Russell.
I hope so.
That is my feeling in the paddock, but I hope it's going to change soon. George Russell, best driver of the day. No mistake at all. Incredible solid race. And Sainz also one of the best.
Not only today, but for the whole weekend, a very solid weekend. And another driver I'd like to point out is Piastri. So Piastri is starting there on seventh position. And he finished the race 1.9 behind Russell. So he did everything he could. He had this tiny, tiny mistake in qualifying. You cannot even call it a mistake because he had this his lap deleted for track limits for nothing. And that's why he wasn't there in third position. Probably it would have been his win because he would have been there. He's been there all weekend, completely different from last weekend in Spain. He was lost in Spain, but he came back really strong and second place. So you'll be between George and Oscar.
No, I want a name. I need one name from you. We've had
George
from him.
I'll go for Oscar.
You're going for Oscar.
You, Tom.
Before today's race, I would have said Max Verstappen. I think he was utterly brilliant in qualifying. One of the best qualifying laps I have ever seen. And he was inch perfect in the sprint. And I was just, does this guy ever make a mistake? And then came the Austrian Grand Prix. But we're talking about the Austrian Grand Prix, and I'm afraid I cannot say it's Max on this occasion. I agree with both of you about George and Oscar. I think they've been phenomenal. But I'm going to serve up a different name, and I'm actually going to say Nico Hülkenberg.
I knew it.
Why did you know that? Because I think he's phenomenal. I think he was great in qualifying, putting that car P9 on the grid. He is a one-lap specialist, but he's also proving that when the car is there, he can do it over 71 laps as well. And this was as good a Hulk as I've ever seen.
I agree with you. Outstanding performance. And probably, Tom, is the reason why people like Audi, they are experts like you, and they just sign in. Because he's not losing performance. Through a year, he's getting better with experience, and he still maintain his speed. So, well done. Well done for him, well done for Audi.
Andreas Seidel, the boss of Sauber Audi, is calling it Project Podium, is what he calls Hülkenberg going to his team.
Yeah, it's... How do you call when it's not fair? I think that if there is a story that is not very fair in this sport in Formula 1, is that a driver like Hülkenberg has not scored in his entire career a podium in Formula 1. It's not fair. How do you call it? It's unfair. I mean, it's not. There's not a sportive justice as to score one. I don't know why he hadn't in his career. Maybe he lost some chances, okay, but he's incredibly strong. How is possible that he has zero podium? A type of driver like this has a minimum as Gasly, one victory. Ocon, one victory. I mean, it's the type of driver has to do it. It's a shame.
Yeah, well,
I'm sorry for it.
If it's any consolation, Nico, you're my driver of the day.
That's a podium.
All right. Well, look, guys, thank you very much for your time. Davide, thank you.
It's been a pleasure. I hope that your guest can understand me.
Of course they can. Look, man, thank you so much. And thanks to Natalie as well, who's probably at 37,000 feet while we're chatting on her way back to England. Of course, it is the British Grand Prix next weekend. We will be there to give you all the lowdown on that next Monday. But for now, thank you very much for listening. F1 Nation is produced by Formula One and Audio Boom Studios.
Twenty 2025 marks the 60th anniversary of the first Honda Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix. More than half a century later, the drive and innovation that powers Honda racing still inspires everything Honda does, from F1 victories to the Civic Hybrid being named the 2025 North American Car of the Year. Honda Racing is leading the charge when it comes to innovation. And here's where it gets really cool. Every Honda-powered F1 car is packed with sensors, hundreds of them, all feeding live data straight back to the Honda racing team in Sakura, Japan. We're talking about real-time analysis that helps engineers squeeze out every ounce of performance on the track. And the amazing part? That same cutting-edge thinking is making its way into the cars we drive every day, thanks to the expertise of Honda racing engineers. Their work has led to advances like the hybrid technology now used in Honda's consumer vehicles. The 2025 Civic Sedan Hybrid is engineered for fun, from the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Civic and the latest Honda innovations at Honda.com.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by shipping cheap parts around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Skip the tariff and snag yourself American-made clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.